Sorry, Eamon de Lister is my name. I thought I might just do 10 minutes on some of the perhaps bewildering choices you might face when you're building learning content. So my discussion is kind of a bottom-up view of the artifacts you're going to be building in a learning environment and some of the decisions you might have to make along the way, particularly the issues that you could become generally familiar with and then maybe choose to pursue in more depth at a later time. The point I'm trying to make really in the few minutes we have here is that there's many delivery mechanisms, many agendas and many options, many formats you encounter as you're building content. I'm trying to put across the idea that it's not that challenging and that if we have some sort of roadmap or some sort of overall framework to try and make sense of the multiple decisions we have to make, then it can be quite productive and surprisingly effective. The map I'm trying to get to is a kind of a decision or a mind map of content. And over the next few minutes, I'm going to try and focus on four issues really associated with learning content. Things you might do when you're selecting or choosing content formats. What happens when you try to create it. Once you've created it, how you manage it. And then a few issues associated with using the content. So we'll try and just focus on these in succession. Now, I distinguish between passive and active. I don't mean to denigrate one over the other, but it's a useful way of dividing up the material you're creating. Passive content, I would say, is stuff that the students, the learners, will read, listen, or watch. They don't necessarily directly interact with, apart from, of course, trying to gather and process the knowledge. Active content would be more participative. The students would be engaging in some activity, maybe filling form, answering a quiz, proceeding through some kind of lesson. And I'll come back to active and passive modes of content throughout the few minutes here. So if we just break it down for a moment into passive, you're probably familiar with this type of material you'd be developing, slides, documents, images, media. Binaries would be packages of information, maybe that plug into a particular application, like a CAD drawing or a program. We're used to building this stuff, particularly slides and documents, we're fairly familiar with. We're used to the modes in which we create these. Media, probably less so, but it's not particularly difficult to assemble, for instance, a podcast or a videocast. I think we're recording this here today. Passive content tends to be relatively straightforward to manage and build. If we look at active content for a moment, I just made up this dividing into structured and generative. Now, by structured, I mean you lay out some path for a student, a quiz or a lesson or a survey. They proceed through a very restricted path. You may gather data from what they've done, and you could use it for grading or for tracking progress. Generative content is quite different. You're giving students a lot more freedom. They're creating pages, or they're building messages or interactions or conversations or a blog. Here, you may be laying out some sort of overall framework, but you're expecting then the student to participate fairly strongly in producing a new world, if you like, or a new interlinked knowledge base. So that's roughly where you are when you're trying to identify which content is appropriate. You might find those divisions useful. If you're creating content, how do you go about doing it? Well, passive-active distinction will strongly dictate the tools you select. If you're building passive content, you're building documents or slides or binary files, you're often creating these in what we call a rich client. You're creating them on your computer. You don't need to be online. If you're trying to build active content, then you really are buying into some virtual learning environment. It's difficult to do this offline, and here you're reliant on some other third party. If we look at passive content for a moment, you're probably all used to using Microsoft Office. It would be maybe the standard way we build content, most of the passive content we build here. OpenOffice, as John mentioned, is a completely free alternative. It has much the same capabilities. Image editors, Photoshop, again, paid for. KiCast has a free one. If you're manipulating media, it's a bit more sophisticated. You're looking for some kind of media processor. Audacity is a free tool for editing podcasts. If you want to edit video, then it becomes quite challenging when you're looking at more platform-specific tools. If you're building binary content, then you need to be comfortable with archiving, that is, compressing the thing you want to give the students, the learner, into usually a single file that they can download and manipulate, maybe expand. Now, active content creation is where VLE comes in. This is where Moodle or WebCT would host the activity you want to create. Again, we could look at our structured and generative view. If it's structured, then the VLE will provide some kind of editor for you. This is usually online. It's usually a form you fill out, you lay out your quiz questions and all the answers, or you plan your lesson and the progression sequence, or you lay out a survey. These tend to be quite transaction-oriented. It's a form that's filled, button-pressed, and the quiz or the lesson is created. For generative content, you're generally defining a top-level structure, providing an overall shape, or maybe you're laying out the topics in a forum. And then your concerns become more on moderation, obviously, how to ensure that the interaction is appropriate, building a community. But for generative, it's the learners who are generating the content, learners who are producing the linkages and building the value. So that's just a take on creating. Now, if we move over to managing, once you've assembled the content, a quick review of some of the issues. Again, passive and active will be managed in different ways. But in both instances, managing content is often about securing, backing up, and versioning, making sure that the effort and time you've put in is preserved and valued. And the issues you're often concerned with here are rolling over between modules or between years, and also the whole issue of how you would back up and preserve the content. If I look at just managing passive content for a moment, we're all very used to managing files and folders. In many ways, that's perfectly adequate, but you probably all have had experience of losing content at one stage or another. And there are various solutions around that, obviously keeping more than one copy. In the IT world, we talk about client-server, having your stuff stored on a server and you're just a client somewhere. And there's various approaches for doing that. For instance, in Moodle, we would have a way of storing the files, same as probably true in WebCT. Commercial servers like Google will take that burden from you. Versioning may be important. As each year rolls by and you invest time in your content, you may be changing it, you may want to recover content from previous years. You can manage that versioning yourself just by file naming a directory after the year of the course, it's a simple way of doing it. Or you could look at more sophisticated ways of doing it. The gold standard here would be peer-to-peer. That is, you would have your content on multiple computers and they would all synchronize themselves. If one failed or was stolen, you'd have the content elsewhere. That's hard to set up though, and it's probably beyond our reach at the moment. Now, active content is quite tricky to manage because you're often building your activity in a VLE. It's difficult to extract it from the VLE. So you have to understand the VLEs, be it Moodle or WebCT's mechanism for backing up, restoring, or maybe import and exporting the content from those systems. Here you're quite bound now to the particular VLE you've selected. That's why moving from one VLE to another is a big deal, because there's a lot of content or time invested in previous generations. Finally, using, just a few remarks. Again, you want the consumer, the learner, to be able to have a reasonably convenient, satisfying experience. This means you must pay attention to file formats and also how the learner is going to access the information. For active content, it's generally less of an issue because you're usually just relying on the browser. But for a moment on passive content, you're creating your content using editors on the desktop. All those editors have ways of generating different formats. So you probably need to be aware of the different formats that it can produce and maybe make some informed choices. I'm suggesting here you keep for an open, flexible and independent format. Word there, for instance, would be none of those. HTML, PDF, or open document format would be. for active content using, it becomes much more an issue of understanding the context in which the activity is performed. That is, who's enrolled, what are the roles of the various participants, how will they interact. It's got a strong temporal aspect. You're running a quiz over a given 1 hour period, or you're having them assemble a forum or a chat or a wiki with a given task in mind. So here you're focusing on session that you're trying to design, how you would structure that, and you're also interested in whether you're building a community or not around the learning content, or whether the content is remaining atomized to a certain extent. So that's a totally unreliable roadmap, I think, in this map here. America isn't even on it, so we'd say there's huge continents missing from that. But there's a range of issues I've tried to hit there that you will come against repeatedly, and there are multiple answers. I think a lot of it is experimentation, and I guess learning from the experience of others is what we're trying to do here. There's a, just take 2 minutes to quickly review how the content might appear in a Moodle context. So this would be 1 week's work in a Moodle course. It's structured with a combination of passive and active. The active content is just along the top, where we might have our chat rooms or wiki or forums. But dominating the rest of the week's work would be passive content. Each week we would lay out in 12-week forms our outcomes for our lab or lecture, or PDFs that can be downloaded and printed, and then maybe HTML versions for online access or for convenience. Let's give you a quick look at that running live. The Moodle system is quite flexible and reasonably easy to get comfortable with. This is a master's course I've been running this year. These would be the active content. Tend to preserve that always in one pane because it's quite, can be quite complicated for students if we start distributing that around the site. And then the rest of the site is formatted in a very predictable manner, so the students know where to go and what to expect. Many staff members are using different mediums, so it can be confusing when they have to switch from one to the other. So each week is always the same. It's always a slide like this with outcomes, material to download, and online HTML versions of the same material. And then we structure each week more or less repetitive like this. So part of the challenge really is to, part of the beauty I think of Moodle is that this type of content by default is shareable. So one of the frustrations of WebCT I've always found is that there's a Chinese wall really between everybody involved in WebCT creation. Moodle by default, everybody can see everybody else's material. There's much more opportunities for sharing and interaction. And we're trying to pilot some activity in computer science department whereby we would adopt a reasonably similar format to our sessions so that we could start to relate to each other's work and feed off each other's topics. One last point. This thing here on the right is interesting. This is RSS. Didn't even appear that on the map. But that's an interesting way of making information available to students from external sources. That's automatically updated and visible on their course web, in this case, this particular course. Okay, 20 minutes is up. Pass it on.